listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I roll in dough with a good grinder and I run that hoe with a bouton. If they relay race with a bouquet, they say, K, you gonna marry my biatch? No way. Biatch? No way. Biatch? No way. Biatch? Okay, I'm never living life confined and it's a failure. Even if you blind, I can tell you who, what, when, where, have to sell your game right on time. Biatch? Go play. Biatch? Go play. Biatch? Go play. Biatch, I look like OJ killing everything for pussy. Two motherfucking hit boy pussy. She pussy popping. I got options like an audible IB. C-O-M-P-T-O-N, I win at ball at your defeat. C-O-M-P-T-O-N, my city mobbing in the streets yelling. All my life I want money and power. Respect my mind or die from lead shower. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Test Podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
These lyrics are not right.
But even with that, nobody can do that like Kendrick. Nobody.
Oh, that's true. That is true.
I mean, he literally don't breathe a lot of times. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, what kind of breath control do you got, sir?
And he got options like an audible RB, not IB. Who the fuck would say IB? Anyway, man, we are live on a
guess the race,
Sunday.
White.
Right. White people in there. Damn. Anyway, we are live on a Sunday. Ready to give you some good podcasting, guys.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, search the Blackout Tips. We'll come up, leave us 5-star reviews, and we will, make sure that you guys, we read them on the air, as long as they're 5 stars and they're nice. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
an unofficial sport.
It's bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. That's right. And yeah, it's time for us to do some podcasting, guys.
Yes, I'm sorry, and I did mean breath control, not breathe control.
No problem.
I didn't even realize I said that.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a random thought.
Go ahead.
My random thought is gonna be real simple, but it's something that I realized.
Mm-hmm.
How can I say this in a nice way? Hormones are something that affect you for your whole life. And
hormones. Okay.
Now, I sound like I said hormones.
Okay. Yeah. Hormones.
Hormones.
I just want to clarify.
I apologize to the hoes out there. I'm sorry. I meant hormones. I apologize.
No, it sounds like you said, you know what? That's fine. I just want to clarify. I'm like Dan Levitar with Poppy. Go ahead.
Yeah. You got me my translator. No, I not to offend nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hormones. We got it. Hormones.
Yes. Hormones.
Got
it. Affect you for your entire life. You know, when you're young, you go through your changes with your body, you know, to do with fellas, your balls drops, you get breasts and all that stuff. But what I realized is that as you get older, hair is a part of the hormonal change for women. I don't know if it is for men too. I'm assuming it is for men too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you start getting hair in all types of places where you be like, how the fuck hair grows in these places? I know particularly like up underneath your chin for a lot of women, and like down you like your neck, if you don't pay attention, all of a sudden the hair is like long enough for you to twirl it, and you be like, I don't know what's happening here.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And so I just realized that I don't know what the magical number is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've just realized that, you know, women use a lot of techniques to kind of cut down on that hair.
Mm-hmm.
You have some women that pluck with tweezers. You have some women that shave, you know, kind of every other day to kind of keep it down where it doesn't like grow wild and crazy. You know, I use your mustache trimmer, but you know, with that it nips it, but it don't really shave it. So next thing I know,
some people laser it off. I don't know how much that costs. I don't think it costs that much though.
Right. Some people laser it off. And so I realized that that's just something that happens kind of as you, you know, get older. And it's like, you know what? I know you don't want no hair on your chin and your neck. I don't know if as women get older, they have their testosterone level rises, because that's all it is increasing testosterone as you get older, mm-hmm. because your estrogen kind of goes down, as you get closer to menopause.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm assuming that that's like a side effect of that. And also, something else I realized too is that, you know, as you start getting older, particularly for women, you get gray hairs, and some people get gray hairs on the top of their head, and some people get gray hairs down at the bottom. And it's one of those things where it's just weird when you look, you're like, oh, that's a gray hair, pluck and keep it trucking.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what I like to do is just, you know, go up to your woman, man, if y'all listen to this and you see them little mustache hairs and beard hairs growing in, just go on there and just start sucking on them hairs, y'all. Just let them know that you love every piece of them, you know, just suck on them, and then they'll have to come to grips with it, you know.
Have to come to reality.
Y'all let people know they love, you know.
And that's true. And I thought it, I know it might sound crazy, but I thought it was kind of just a me thing. But, you know, talking to people on social media, I realized, no, it's a lot of women. And I don't, like I say, the number varies per person. Some women actually go through menopause earlier. Some women actually get gray hair earlier. So it varies per woman. But for a lot of women, once women start hitting like their 30s, 35 and above, that's kind of once you kind of get there. And, you know, it was just I had a ball talking to other women and their experiences, and it'll make you feel like you're just not alone. You'll be like, god damn, all of a sudden I just got fucking hairy.
I feel you on that.
I mean, do you have the problem
with hair coming in that I didn't have before?
Yes.
No, it's not how it works for me. I mean, I guess maybe on your back or some shit, I don't know.
Okay,
like,
because I know,
I don't think it's that way. I think men, like, well, you lose the hair on top of your head, which is also some type of weird thing with testosterone and shit, and you get that from your mom. It's a hereditary trait. But then, like maybe your beard will grow in better, or your, you know, back or your whatever. But, you know, men, we don't have to, you know, some men get hairy, really hairy arms or something.
I know,
but
some get really hairy noses and hair goes out their ears. And I'm like,
I mean, certain things don't ever stop growing on people. Your ears, yeah, some people do get hairy ears, hairy noses. I don't know. I'm fortunate, I guess, in that area. You know, my beard grew in better as the older I got, but
okay.
Also let it grow because I wasn't working for white people no more. So
that's true too.
So I don't know. I don't know what the rules are for men. It might be, you know, I just think it's different because we don't judge men for getting hairy, you know.
Like, you know, that. Yeah, and that's true too. Cause I ain't gonna lie, honey. Sometimes I forget about it, like, cause I'm just going and I don't really pay no attention. Then I'll be like, you know what? Oh yeah. Then Roger says something to me, cause half time I don't pay no attention. But then I was like, you know what? Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to get little shadow, so I'll start nipping them and cutting them more frequently. It's fucking annoying.
Yeah, I mean, it's just part of aging, you know. We do so. I mean, there's entire beauty. For women anyway, there's entire like beauty industries just for your hair and your nails and your toes and, you know, your face and your skin and your eyebrows and all this shit. Yeah, I mean, it's just different for women.
And that's true. The standards are different, and just being hairless, because I don't think I would ever be hairless, because I don't know. I just don't like a slick feeling. I want to feel like I'm grown. So I would never completely, you know, be hairless. But I know there's some women where they literally just strip every piece of hair. I'm like, that's too much work. Some of this you just gonna have to rub it and be all right with it. If you don't want that, I ain't the one for you. Fuck that bullshit.
Yeah, I did have a random thought too. Do self-hating black people have racist dogs? Because you know how, like, sometimes you'll see a white person, they have a racist dog, and you could, you know, whenever a black person around, you can tell, you're like, oh my god, this dog's fucking racist or something. Like, what do you talk about in your house? You know, you make America great again in your house, and then you hang out with me sometimes. But sometimes I think about, you know, the fact that, like, Clarence Thomas gotta have a dog, you know what I mean? But he probably want a racist dog too. Like, you know, he probably, like, Ben Carson probably want a pit bull that, you know, only hate other black people. Like, how do they train those dogs to, you know, to hate other black people? I don't understand. So anyway. This isn't really a random thought that's funny, but this is something I did want to say. If people out there are, like, you know, struggling right now, because I know seasonal depression is a real thing, and it's about to turn fall and winter and shit. I know people are getting stressed out. It's about holiday time. It's about the end of the year. It's, you know, a bunch of shit that is coming up soon. And I just wanted to tell people, you don't owe anybody a good day, by which I mean, you don't have to fake your happiness or fake your strength or fake being unbothered, especially for content creators. Your audience and the people in your life that really care about you, they don't need you to be a fake you, and if they do, then that's, you know, that's not real love to to make somebody have to quote unquote be strong. People love you for being you, and being true to yourself is the most important thing. And then by that means, especially for people that do have these platforms, you have podcasters, bloggers, writers, like all this different stuff, right? From that, you are still reaching people, and you are still kind of shining a light for folks that go through the same things. You know, I think, and especially if you're independent, there's no reason for us to have to fake it. You know, like, you don't, like, there's no management in the sky that's gonna come down and be like, hey, today's show was too sad or too happy or too whatever, right? So if you're down, just know that there's other people that are down, and you're not alone. And I think that matters. You know, that if you're angry, if you're even if you're happy, if you're struggling, whatever, you're not alone. There's a lot of people out there that they care about you, and you are a reflection of everybody else, and everybody is a reflection of you as well. So sometimes you can be a beacon for somebody that you don't even know, because they're going through exactly what you're expressing. And I think that's important, you know. So yeah, I just wanted to get that off my chest. I'm personally feeling fine right now. This isn't like an indication or anything, but right. I just thought about this. Someone had sent us an email for something, and it reminded me, like, hey man, you know, you don't have to come out here and fake it for anybody. Like, just be you, let people love you. They love you where you are, they love you where you're gonna be, they love you where you've been, and never forget that shit. All right.
Yep. And I 100% agree. And I think, how can you say it, it's kind of a weird thing when it comes to that, because everybody's personality is a little different. And a lot of times, I know me, 99.9% of the time, Roger will tell you, I wake up, I'm just happy. Like, I'm majority of the time, I'm just a happy, joyous, smiling all the time, you know, person. And I think that for a lot of people, they think that that's fake. And I'm like, no, that's not fake. That's just who I am, you know. And I feel like it's almost one of those things where, yes, you should be allowed to feel a whole range of emotions. But I also think that for a lot of people, they only look at life from there and from their own personal perspective, and assume that because they're faking it, everybody else is faking their feelings too.
I feel like
that's
not
always true.
I feel like there's a pressure on everybody now, especially with social media. Like I said, if you're a content creator, you have a podcast, you have a blog, you have a YouTube, you have whatever you're doing that people are consuming by the public. For years and years and years of human existence, we've been taught that the whole point of that is to go out and present this brave face, right? To like, look at Jimmy Kimmel is a great example of, he doesn't want to talk about President Trump now, because he doesn't do politics, he doesn't want to get political. Now, he was on TV rubbing Trump's head, and I know, unpopular opinion, I felt bad for him in a way, because the world changed on him in a quick, like, in a way that he could not have predicted. It went from, oh, we all think Trump is a joke, to suddenly the world said, I might want to vote for this guy. And that, therefore, you became an enabler. Like, it would have been like, if Donald Trump stayed relegated to the TV entertainment landscape, while many people would not have liked him, they would have felt comfortable with where he was. Like, okay, yeah, he's the guy from the fucking Apprentice. Like, you rubbed his head. I don't like that dude since fucking the Central Park, you know, shit. Like, I don't like that dude because of his housing. Like, he was already unlikable to me, but he was relegated to a space where his, me not liking him didn't really, it was just like an annoyance. Like, oh, this nigga again, he on TV?
Right.
Really, y'all put him on Saturday Night? But it was more annoying than anything else. I didn't understand the fascination with the guy, right? Mm-hmm. Well, now Jimmy doesn't want to talk about politics in general, because Trump is hard to talk about. He's terrible, and he's part of the reason that he was normalized, and I don't think he really wants to have to explore that. And to a certain extent, even if he were to start talking shit about him, it'd come off as super self-serving, hypocritical, you know. to a certain extent, Michael Che comes off like that to me. I remember when he was the guy talking about PC police and outrage culture and shit, and now he's Mr. I'm a woke feminist and I'm gonna go in on Trump every week. Like, one of these is a character, you tell me which, right? But the point being, I mean, you can ride that wave, you know, you can ride that wave. Same thing happened with Obama. Some people were super critical of him. They flipped on a dime. Don Lemon's super critical of Obama all of a sudden, you know, like, it's a wave. It's an angle. It's something you can play at to get that thing. And I don't think Jimmy Kimmel he just wants out, like, right? But that's also because Jimmy Kimmel is in an industry where his training says, I have to go out, make people laugh. I want people to not be associate me with anything that makes them sad. I don't want them to think about anything that's going on with their government. I don't want them to think about anything that is racist, sexist. I don't want to talk about those things. I don't want to talk about Weinstein. I don't want to talk about anything. I basically want to be fucking Sesame Street or Pee Wee's Playhouse for adults. That's what right. He wants to do. I'm not saying it's admirable, because it's really not, but that's what he wants to do. That's the lane he wants to occupy. Yeah. He's been allowed to occupy that lane before, and in this administration, and with him rubbing that motherfucker's head, he no longer allowed to do that. Well, I think that's, even with people that are independent like us, there's this pressure, without thinking about it, to conform to that sort of, like, I don't want to drag, I don't want people to be down, I don't want to let people know that I'm hurting, I don't want to let people know that that I'm having less than a stellar day. And so there's this pressure to, like, perform,
right?
And I think everybody, and now everybody kind of has a platform with social media, so a lot of people are always kind of doing it, but it is those peaks inside where you're like, yo, I am not sure about this thing, you know, I'm doing this project and it's very difficult, I doubt myself sometimes, I don't always have the right answers, you know, I get frustrated. But that, to me, that's real as well. And I just want to let people know that that's okay, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to fake for everybody. And I think especially when we come to things like seasonal depression is a real thing, and I think when it comes to shit like that, there is, and especially with the holidays, it is like
right.
this, but you gotta fake, you got, like, look, you about to bring down Thanksgiving, you got to bring down Christmas, you know, you got to fuck up Halloween, you know, or whatever. Like, it might not be a celebration for everybody at the same time, but I just want to let people know they not alone. So I think that's important, because like I said, it's good, I think it's good when people express, you know, and not, no pressure, like, if you're not feeling that way, you don't need to perform it, but just in correct. general, like, you know, I think this is that time where everybody puts on their brave faces and then just keeps walking like nothing's happening. But
right.
Yeah, you know, people not alone, that's all. All right, let's get into news. What is going on in the news today? I feel like, speaking of depressing, right? Let's see, where do we start? All right, here we go. My bad, I need to pick up that tank. It is definitely Jimmy Fallon I was talking about, not Kimmel. My bad, Kimmel the one that's been crying and stuff because his son or something, and and people losing health insurance and stuff. So but even with him, I mean, he didn't want to do that shit. He cried about Cecil the Lion, and everybody was like, motherfucker, you out here crying about a lion in a whole other ass country, and motherfucking real people are dying on the, like, with this administration and shit, and you just don't give a fuck? Like, what the fuck are your priorities? And now he crying for people, you know? So, you know, and there's no excuse, by the way, for Fallon, because Jimmy Kimmel used to do the fucking Man Show, which was, while funny, but the whole show was celebrating like men being like super duper repressive and look at women bouncing on trampolines. And
I remember that show. You used to come on like Spike TV, right?
Him and Adam Carolla. Like, it ain't like he's exactly the fucking compass of morality at this motherfucker, but the point being, he did, like, things changed and he changed. You know, Colbert's always had a political lane, but same thing with Colbert. Like, let's not give him too much props when he switched to that nighttime shit. He didn't want to do politics at first. Mm-hmm. And he basically denied the whole idea of covering politics for a minute because he didn't want to do his character from Comedy Central. He didn't want to do that again. He wanted to switch into nighttime, which they tell you, like, just do middle America stuff that everybody can agree with. And then even he had to be like, no, fuck this. This is crazy. I have to talk. And guess what? Ratings went up.
Right.
Ratings were tanking when he tried to not talk about it. Now he's talking about it and the ratings up. You know, and Kim and Fallon's losing in the ratings. You know, like, I think all this shit is connected, man. And if you don't talk about it, you just like, is you're not a hero for not talking about it. But like I said, I feel bad to Fallon for it to an extent, because he is so oblivious as a white dude. He didn't know that the rules are changed. In his mind, he just thought he was just going out and being silly. And no, you don't get to go out and be silly anymore without people noticing that you're a coward, basically. And for the record, he might be terrible at covering politics. So that's also something that we should probably acknowledge.
That's why some of them stay away.
Yeah, even if he did switch over to, I'm going to be talking about politics, and then he was terrible at it, we'd all be like, I wish this motherfucker would stop talking about it. So, you know, I'm not even saying he needs to be talking about it, but just people are going to notice the absence of you talking about it, because contrary to what you believe, rubbing Donald Trump's head is political. Anyway, let's get to LGBTQ news. Oh man, it's all harsh news, guys. I'm sorry. A mother of a slain teen to Trump, defend all LGBTQ people, not just my child. Yeah, he loves to do the individual case of faking empathy while passing policies that
are the opposite of it.
Exactly. They target and harm people, and there's not even there's not even two ways to look at it. It's just harmful. It shouldn't have taken for a child to lose his life, she says. Katrina Johnson, the mother of a gender fluid teenager who was shot to death last year in Burlington, Iowa, appreciates President Donald Trump's Justice Department sent a federal hate crimes attorney to aid the prosecution of a man accused of killing a high school student. But Johnson, who was no fan of Trump, wants the administration to push for the rights of all LGBTQ people, not just her child. This is another situation too. You're essentially a victim of a hate crime. Your son, because I believe she refers to him as he. Hopefully she's not misgendering in this thing, but
correct.
You essentially are saying, my son died, now I have to become an outspoken advocate. Like, I don't get to really grieve. You know, same thing with that military family. You don't even get to grieve. You don't even get to grieve. You have to also end up becoming a fucking activist by the nature of this dude being such a fucking scandalous fuck up. Anyway, I love the fact that they have intervened, she told the Huffington Post in a phone interview, but it shouldn't have taken for a child to lose his life for everyone to think it was a hate crime for them to step up and do something. She said, using a male pronoun to refer to Kadari Johnson, they need to continue to do something after this case is over. Attorney Jeff Sessions took the unusual step of sending in a federal lawyer. I'm surprised he did that.
Right, because he gives zero fucks, because they're constantly passing laws that say it is the Wild Wild West.
to help prosecute one of two men charged in killing of a 16-year-old. The decision surprised people familiar with the case, particularly given that Sessions has rolled back protections for LGBTQ people more broadly. He has, for example, overturned a policy that encourages schools to let transgender students use bathroom facilities that correspond with their gender identities. Although several news outlets have referred to Kadari as transgender, Katrina Johnson and a school mentor prefer the term gender fluid. Johnson said Kadari sometimes like to wear girls' clothing and go by the name Candace, and they would go get their nails and hair done together. But she compared Kadari to RuPaul, referring to RuPaul Andre Charles, a professional drag queen who is gay and identifies as male. When Kadari came out to her as being interested in boys, she said she was supportive, though she said some peers bullied her child. I had to teach him and instill in him, don't be ashamed of who you are. Be who you are and what you are, no matter what people say, people think. Chandra Campbell, former career center coordinator at Burlington Community High School and mentor to Kadari, said the teen had a big heart and cared a lot for others. If he saw someone crying in the hallways of school, he would always try to go comfort them. He was comfortable in his own skin. I tell you, I have yet to meet somebody, even an adult, like that. Campbell said she was surprised by the Justice Department's action because he's a kid, and I would hope that something that would happen, and I'm grateful. But there's so many people that this has happened to, and if nothing else, I'm hoping this will get some recognition around the United States that, hey, this isn't okay that people are getting killed because they're transgender, gender fluid, or because of their sexual orientation. Yeah, seemed like a bare minimum fucking thing to be able to agree on, but apparently we can't all agree. First degree murder charges have been filed in the case of Jorge Luis Sanders Galvez, whose trial is scheduled to start next week, and Jerron Narell Perham, who is being prosecuted separately. Department of Justice officials declined to comment on whether Perez is aiding in the prosecution of Perham, for whom a trial date has not yet been set. So they turned one dude against the other. They both conspired to kill this person, a 16-year-old. Though Johnson and others believe Kadari's murder was a hate crime, the cases are not being prosecuted as such under Iowa state law. The statute covers sexual orientation, but not gender identity. So there you go. Like, it's not a hate crime because it happened to a trans person, because we're not going to recognize that trans people exist. So therefore, we won't even have to cover it as a hate crime. Federal officials, though, have been investigating whether Sanders Galvez could be charged with federal hate crime, so they would like to be a part of the case, of the state's case for seamless prosecution, so should an indictment in federal court be handed down. Amy Beavers, the Des Moines County attorney, said. Curtis Dowell, a defense attorney who represents Sanders Galvez, said the Justice Department contacted him in July and informed him of the investigation. I was surprised that there is another attorney joining the prosecution. It doesn't have any effect on the way we're handling our case. Sessions directed Civil Rights Division attorneys to dedicate themselves to proactively investigate a certain set of cases of individuals who were murdered because they are transgender. Devin O'Malley, a Department of Justice spokesman, told the Huffington Post. This is just one example of Attorney General's commitment to enforcing the laws enacted by Congress and to protecting the civil rights of all individuals.
I have a question. I wonder, and I might be wrong, and just my lack of knowledge of the law, I wonder if the only reason why he's doing this is because he has to. Maybe there's a particular statute of limitations or something like that. Then after that, it's like, fuck it, I don't care anymore.
It's all speculation, honestly, because, you know, this, what he said doesn't make sense. My guess is that like the Confederate statues, they want these cases to look like, oh, we tried with these cases, so don't say when we roll back protections for transgender people, don't say that we transphobic, because look, in this case we tried, you know, and the mom in this case addressed it immediately, like, okay, but you pass laws that don't protect trans people, but then you don't want to, but then you want to hop on board to just for my child. What's the point of that? You know what I mean? It's like if I you know, it's like men that are misogynistic, but then they'll bring up like individual cases of women that they aren't misogynistic toward. Like, I really support Hillary Clinton, or, you know, my friend so-and-so, and I love her. But then the whole other, but any other time it's just a woman, they can't wait to not all men and shit. That's what it is. To me, these are banner cases that you can go in and go, but look at the accomplishments we had prosecuting these two or three cases. Oh yeah, yeah, but we rolled back the law on that. Yeah,
yeah, but, I'm like, y'all don't believe it. Like, yeah, this is, like you say, this is just dressed up.
Yeah, it doesn't mean shit. Mm-mm. But I mean, obviously it means something to this to one family, case, right? But she's right, the bigger picture is it doesn't mean shit. The Advocate had this article by Ashley Marie Preston that says, why are we giving awards to Caitlyn Jenner? Now Ashley Marie Preston is an activist, transgender activist. She says it's not only wrong to give an award to the Trump supporter as St. John's Well Child and Family Center plans to do, is downright insulting. And I think this has always been the problem with Caitlyn Jenner, this has always been the problem with Caitlyn Jenner, mm-hmm. is that she is at the forefront of a lot of people's ideas of, like, this is what trans people value, this is a person we want to put on a podium, we want to put on TV shows. And to a certain extent, obviously, you don't control the media, you can't make, like, you know, and I guess not my place to tell you, well, you need to decline that interview because you don't identify with the majority of people in your, you know, it's like me saying Stacey Dash can't go on TV. That's not really my problem. My problem is, where's everybody else? Why does this name keep coming up? Why is this the name that gets the awards? Why is this the name that...
There are other women out there, and y'all ignoring the fuck out of those women.
Yeah, it was one thing was the ESPYs, right? Because, like, I understand why you would give Caitlyn Jenner an ESPY. Like, that actually makes a lot of fucking sense. It's not like you had a lot of examples at the time. This was a very prominent person that we had all known as one way for so long, and there was so much, like, speculation and discussion and... You know, it struck a chord for inclusiveness in a way that, you know, I forget who the other person was up. It was like a soldier who had lost a limb or something, but it struck like, it was definitely a statement within the sports world. After that, I don't understand. You know what I mean? Like, you're not representative of anyone's values. You actively support candidates and political, ideals that are against the rights of everybody within your community.
Right.
You yourself have problems even grasping these things. I know she wanted to make her educational process part of a TV show, and that was going to be a thing. It's like, watch her learn about LGBTQ rights and stuff. But she has lived so long with the privilege and with the appearance of white and the power, the attachment to white malehood for so long. It's like, if anything, is a case study on how it's almost impossible to see past your privilege.
Yeah.
Once you have had it for so long, like, you can't even process things the same way a marginalized person can. So just flipping the switch in the world like that, you know, like, whether it's I know it's not a switch inside, but flipping that switch for the world, where the world goes, okay, now I see you as a white woman, as a trans woman, all of a sudden it's, you don't even conceive yourself that way. Because also, she was still allowed in places that they wouldn't allow other trans women in,
right?
Specifically because of their attachment to her history as Bruce Jenner in their mind. So to them, it's like, oh, you can still golf with us. Well, you're not having a typical experience. So of course, when you're talking on Ellen, you're fucking up. You're not even living with the, you know, you're still a rich person. You're still a white person. You're still connected. Like, you're not even living this existence in the way that most people typically live it. So yeah, your politics are not gonna be typical, you know? But at any rate, I understand why people are questioning it, because now it's what, 2017, and you're still getting awards? How? Like I said, I understood the ESPY. This isn't like a knock on that. Like, I don't have a problem with that. But after that, it's over. That's a wrap. Yeah, like, you are a problem. You are a menace. You are actively hurting and harming people by advocating for politicians that would carry out agendas that absolutely would hurt people. And you're just... And motherfuckers still feel like, let's put you on a pedestal. I don't understand. Let me read some of this. Sorry, I don't mean to go off on a tangent. Caitlyn Jenner said this to Diane Sawyer in her 2015 coming out interview. What I'm doing is going to do some good. We are going to change the world. Mm-hmm. After 2 years, a TV show, several awards, cosmetic endorsements, magazine cover, speaking engagement, guest appearances, and a book deal where she threw her family under the bus for $4 million and a number 361 on Amazon's list, our confidence in Jenner has plummeted. Caitlyn Jenner's transition wasn't a PR stunt. The stunt was in her financially forged relationship to the LGBTQ community and her self-assigned role as gatekeeper and spokeswoman for the transgender community. Caitlyn has become the Christopher Columbus of the trans identity in that she sailed over into the community and attempted to take complete credit and ownership of our movement. She can't lead our movement when she's never taken one step in our shoes and our experienced discrimination we have mounted on our backs thanks to her political pen pals in the White House. Ooh, there's some ether right here. Any and every opportunity Caitlyn has had to truly understand the struggles of LGBTQ people are up against has been met with obstinate disregard. As she stated on Ellen DeGeneres' talk show 2 years ago, the episode where she did the limbo and revealed she doesn't get marriage equality, she's a traditionalist. She is also a proud Republican and Donald Trump supporter, even wearing a Make America Great Again hat after the tyrant in chief banned our people from the armed forces. Her beliefs and views of the world are projected through a lens of wealthy, white, privileged, cis-hetero man with the world as their oyster, but we are not props or puppets for her propaganda, nor do LGBTQ, specifically trans people, want her representing our interests. We don't need a representative who plays step and fetch it to an administration that has launched an aggressive attack against trans people and trans members of the armed force. Oh, trans children and trans members of the armed forces and reverse civil rights protections implemented by President Obama. The LGBTQ community deserves leaders who don't cringe at the idea of same-sex marriage, who deserves leaders who sees us as more than a tax shelter and a press opportunity. Our trans women deserve role models who don't shame them with passability politics and refer to them as men in dresses. Most importantly, the LGBTQ community deserves leaders who center our voices and not themselves. See, that's the other thing that Caitlyn Jenner did. She tried to be on some, like, I was on a magazine cover, so that means all trans people were on a magazine cover. It's progress, y'all. I got a book deal at $4 million, so that's like all of us got a book deal. But it's like, you don't do shit for nobody else, and right. Then your experience never reflects or mirrors the rest of people's experience, you know. And we're not at a place where everybody's getting on, so it's not, so you are going to catch the flack from the community when you step out the box like that, because you don't have 57 people getting book deals. Like, there's like a handful of people that, there's Laverne Cox, there's Janet Mock, there's you. You know what I mean?
That are like some of the most well known.
Right. And some, it's like, but you're not getting a bunch of diversity of opinion, you know? And yours really is a one percenter type of opinion to this shit. So, yeah, that's why you get a lot of flack. And, you know, and I say all that without trying, like, no misgendering her, no, you know, like, you don't have to attack her name, call her out her name, shit like that, that so many people end up going to. But you can look at her politics and her fucking way she navigates life and be like, yo, you a trash ass person, period. You know what I mean? Like, you're not a good person, so you don't get to prop yourself up like that. And the fact that you would let yourself be used as a token, like I said, I remember her wearing that Make America Great Again hat after that was after Trump had rolled back some initiatives. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what is it gonna take? What would it take to be like, you know what, man, maybe I'm wrong?
To pass a law with her name specifically on it.
It really would take the, like, fuck Caitlyn Jenner law before she was like, yep, you know what, all right, fuck Trump. And even then it'd be too late, cause fuck you, cause it took a specific you. Cause it's always about you. Anyway, sorry. The greatest tool Caitlyn uses to center herself is the Caitlyn Jenner Foundation, made up of white trans people and non-representative of the target demographic she claims to serve. The foundation is humanitarian fraud in its highest form. Aside from tax benefits and press notices, Caitlyn has now used her foundation to honor the seemingly most important person in our community, herself. St. John Well Child and Family Center, a clinic that serves the needs of the trans community, is presenting its annual Trans Nation Film Festival in Los Angeles this weekend. The event spans a couple of weekends and consists of several independent film screenings, a pageant, and a fundraising gala on Saturday, where Jenner is set to be honored for her role as a trailblazer and possibly the small amount of money she donated to LGBTQ causes. Coincidentally or not, Zachary Drucker is the director of CJF and an organizer of Trans Nation. Let's be real, Caitlyn doesn't give money for charity's sake. She's never written a check without being accompanied by a makeup artist and a camera crew. Having this reality star share the stage with someone like Jasmine Nicola Creighton, a co-honoree at the gallery, is insulting to say the least. Jasmine has been advocating for the LGBTQ community through film, TV, and nonprofit work for over 20 years. She has appeared in numerous television and movie roles, with her most recent portraying Bobby Jean Walker, a prominent transgender activist and religious leader in the television series When We Rise. As co-producer of the play Lovely Bouquet of Flowers and the accompanying documentary In Full Bloom, she gives voice to members of the community from all walks of life and challenges viewers to move past their preconceived stereotypes and see our commonalities. In the documentary, Jasmine explores situations that are easily relatable to the transgender community, like family struggle, inner conflicts, coming out, surgery, hormones, and the complexities of sexual identity and orientation. She works with the HIV organization APAIT as a testing counselor. Her work, art, and creativity continue to inspire many. We don't need a self-serving retired Olympic champion to represent us when we have genuine champions such as Jasmine and many others who've been doing this work well before it could score you a reality show and a book deal. I've launched a petition to urging St. John's to stop dishonoring our community and rescind Caitlyn's award. This isn't about organizations taking money from Caitlyn Jenner, although I personally don't recommend it. Our petition is about rescinding her self-congratulatory award and not rubbing our faces in the fact that she can force her way into power while holding us in our narrative hostage. If St. John's will rescind the award, this could all go away, but instead we're likely going to move forward with our intent to disrupt the event from the inside while leading our demonstration from the outside. Yeah, I mean, that's a read, but that's the truth. And that does make sense that, it's almost like giving yourself an award. Cause who else would, I can't see a community of people choosing her, you know, without, you know what I'm saying? Out, like a community of people within her community being like, oh, let's award her. It had to be manipulation of some kind. Anyway, let's see.
Because in their mind, they're like, okay, you got this foundation, but you have no women of color in your foundation. You have no diversity in your foundation. It's like supporting whiteness. That's all you're telling me, that whiteness is the only thing that matters.
Right. Ontario Minor Hockey makes transgender training for coaches mandatory.
Wonderful.
So that's some good news. That is some good news. Education on transgender athletes is mandatory for all Ontario's minor hockey coaches, trainers, and managers this season, the latest step in a series of changes stemming from a human rights complaint filed by a transgender teen in 2013. A pair of online training modules must be completed by Sunday or within a month of the person being assigned to the team. Non-compliance means the coach, manager, or trainer will not be registered by their minor hockey association. The Ontario Hockey Federation, Hockey Eastern Ontario, and Hockey Northwestern Ontario have rolled out training materials on understanding discrimination based on gender identity and gender expression, as well as a guide to dressing room policy. It's something new in our society. We're just not used to it. It's good information to have if that situation were to arrive, said Mitchell, Ontario Bantam coach Tyler Tolton. Jesse Thompson, a transgender player from Oshawa, Ontario, got the ball rolling on gender inclusion in minor hockey with his complaint to the Human Rights Tribunal of Ontario some 4 years ago. Man, it took 4 years for this.
Mm-hmm.
Thompson, who was 17 at the time, felt being forced by a league official to change in a separate dressing room during the 2012-2013 season outed him and exposed him to harassment and bullying. At the time, Hockey Canada's co-ed dressing room policy required male and female players ages 11 and older to change in separate dressing rooms. The policy was applied basically anatomical sex, not gender identity. Thompson's complaint led to Ontario's minor hockey branches agreeing in 2014 to change dressing room policies and educate personnel on transgender inclusion. The dressing room policy implemented a year ago stated athletes who identify as transgender can use a dressing room corresponding to their gender identity. This season's mandatory training makes understanding and accommodating trans athletes required reading. It provides information on gender itself, explains what gender identity is and what makes up gender identity and expression. It provides information on how to provide an inclusive environment. There's also an implementation guide that's been provided to our on our website as far as dressing room implementation and what you can do in that situation. Adapting the facilities of varying ages and design may require advanced homework, according to Tolton. every facility is different too. If you're going to an away arena you're not familiar with, that arena would have to know the situation as well. Minor hockey branches inside Ontario have yet to adopt transgender policies. The issue has yet to be tabled for discussion as Hockey's Canada annual general meetings. According to a spokeswoman, this is a model that was based out of Ontario Human Rights Commission settlement and applies only to Ontario. It's not a Hockey Canada program. It's an Ontario-based program that's in place, saying that there may be an adaptation later on, but that's up to Hockey Canada. So it's still just in this one location. Well, I mean, it's a start.
Yeah, that's progress.
4 years. Whew, 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Progress is slow. I think people really don't understand how progress is slow. And something that you talked about before, it's a disservice in our country, particularly all over the world, when you really don't show how progress is slow. Mm-hmm. Shit don't change overnight.
Right.
It takes years. It takes decades. It takes 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, sometimes generations, before shit you actually see the fruits of your labor. So you might be the foundation of something and you might not even see the fruits of your labor. You'll be dead and gone and somebody else would actually benefit from something that you started. But it has to start from somewhere to spark other people to continue to carry the torch.
Let's move into some other news, guys. Nicki Minaj may testify at her brother's child sexual assault trial. For the defense, so you know, testify I guess on her brother's behalf. Now I will say this, I'm not 100% sure how that works.
Mm-mm.
I've never been in a situation where I've had to testify. Do they call, like, are you compelled to, like, do they call you as a character witness and then you show up? And because the thing is, this also means you get cross-examined by the prosecution as well. Can you choose not to testify in someone's case? I honestly don't know the details.
Like, if you have a choice, then they'd be like, look, you got to come to court. You get a subpoena going, you got to come. Right. You ain't got a choice. My assumption is that she did. I personally don't think she would be willingly to do this. Somebody was like, hey, you got to come to court.
Yeah, I don't know. Right. I know enough to know that I don't know.
Right.
To be honest. So I don't know if you can just say I refuse to testify or
just go in there and plead the fifth the whole time.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. A lawyer for Nicki Minaj's older brother claimed the family of the accuser in this trial is attempted to extort millions from the rap star. I mean, here's the thing. If that's true, then I guess she would have to testify if they really did go, we want blank millions of dollars or we're going to accuse your brother of sexual assault. If that's true. So I guess the only way to know is if she testifies at court that that's what happened, which we'll see in the news by the time if that happens.
We will see in the news.
I have no idea what happened. I see a lot of people having hot takes and they don't know what the fuck happened either.
No, they don't.
The prosecutor reportedly maintained that the evidence proves Jelani Mraz, 38, preyed on a preteen girl for months. Yeah, I think she was in sixth grade. We've talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
Mirage's trial began on Thursday with his attorney, David Schwartz, telling jurors the charges were part of a scheme to get money from Nicki Minaj. Mirage was arrested in 2015. According to court records, he's charged with predatory sexual assault against a child, course of sexual conduct against a child in the first and second degrees, and endangering the welfare of a child. He has pleaded not guilty. He's accused of repeatedly sexually abusing a young girl who was then a sixth grader for 8 months, allegedly making her his indentured sex object, prosecutors said on Thursday. The girl, now 14, and her younger brother revealed alleged abuse, prosecutors said. DNA and forensic evidence corroborated the children's claim, according to the paper. Yeah, well, that's open and shut case if that's true. And then also, this is the first time I heard her younger brother too. They always made it sound like it was just the girl.
Right.
Not that, you know, that's not enough, but you know, that's pretty damning evidence.
Yeah, indentured sex slave.
Yeah. Schwartz says it's all lies. The victim's family tried to shake her Minaj down for $25 million. He alleges part of a plot. They made up the lies. They wanted to make charges go away for $25 million. Okay, so here's the other thing too, because we should also be prepared for this possibility. It's possible that both things happen. It's totally possible her brother is a sexual predator, and that's disgusting, and needs to go to jail, and he did this thing. And it's also possible that the people around the children may have tried to blackmail Nicki Minaj. I don't know. You know, I don't know what the evidence is going to say and what she's going to end up testifying to and what evidence they have, because it would seem that if you try to blackmail me for $25 million, there's probably some record of however you tried to contact me and whatever the blackmail demands were. If that's what she's testifying to, I don't understand why people would be upset if that's what happened, because you're just there to tell the truth. So the defense calls you and they go, hey, is it true that your ass was asked to give $25 million to this family, or and then they would keep this abuse quiet, and you said no? Then I don't know how that makes her a bad person for getting on stand and saying, yeah, they did that. You know,
that's a fact.
Yeah, specifically, right? For the fact that it may have been her denial of paying any level of ransom that puts her brother in jail.
Correct.
Which is another complicated step. You know, like, you had the money to pay these people and you went no, which means, you know, this is gonna go to court, you know, this motherfucker gonna go to jail, the end. You know what I'm saying? Like, I to me, it would have been a little more fucked up if she would have, if this happened, if there was ransom demands and she paid it to be like, hush hush, keep my brother out of jail. To me, that's more fucked up, you know. So I don't know, I just saw people had the hottest of takes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we don't know shit yet, we'll see.
Yeah, particularly because, like I said, nobody knows. And you know how niggas get when it come to tearing a black woman down about anything.
Yeah, we'll see. Like I said, if she's up there being like, you know, whatever, you know, we'll see if let's see what her commentary is before. Ooh. At least for me, before I jump to conclusions,
right?
And then, you know, also, like I said, this means the prosecution gets a cross examine, I believe. So we'll see what her answers are to that too. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's the other thing too, when you this like proximity to somebody. I don't know how close they are. I don't know what she knew when she knew it and stuff, but prosecution will find out, or at least ask her the right questions and we'll see, you know, cause maybe she really didn't know that much shit. You know, I could see you just out being a fucking pop star and then all of a sudden it's blam,
get a phone call.
Your brother is in jail and we need your help as a family. It's like, well, what the fuck is this? You know what I mean? Or even worse, hey, you got $25 million so we can keep your brother out of trouble? No. And what the fuck did he do? You know what I mean? So, I don't know. And then people lied. We've already seen people lied about her already. Like, I know people want to be on the, it's black and white shit, but they were saying she paid for her brother's defense when she didn't.
Right.
Her mother put her fucking house up to pay for her brother's defense. Nicki Minaj can't control that. You know what I mean? But people were, Nicki Minaj out here defending, you know, so, you know, it does seem like people are jumping in rather quick to be like, this is how it has to be, fuck her. And I'm just waiting to see. We'll see what happens when the trial starts, or when she's called to the stand, if she's even called to the stand.
Right, because she might not testify.
Yeah, it did say may testify, so she may not even testify.
Mm-hmm. It might be one of them things where sometimes you actually... people write shit and they read what you wrote and stuff like that. Sometimes people don't always come in,
you know. It's, well, you know, the other thing is, if she doesn't testify, I feel like a lot of people gonna owe her an apology, because I see a lot of people just shitting on her. Because if she doesn't testify, that means even if they did try to extort her, that means she won't talk about it, which is basically just sending her brother up the river, which he's probably going anyway if they have DNA evidence. I don't even understand how this case is. Anyway, the other part of this is, if she does testify to the effect of she didn't know this nigga was doing this shit and she got extorted, if that's all she knows, it's just all she knows. So I don't know. It feels like you said earlier, one way or another, it's going to turn into, this is this black woman's fault and not this fucking sexual predator's fault.
Regardless of what the truth is.
Right. So it's been that way for a while. I remember reading the articles that are like, Nicki Minaj paid for his defense, and I was like, fuck, for real? I guess that's complicated, da 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 da. And then you read like the retraction a few days later, and it's like, well, no one's gonna know the retraction,
right?
Like, no one, we only, everyone, I guarantee there are people listening right now, they're like, no, but she did pay for his defense. Go look it up. I didn't know either.
She did not.
We definitely read the first one on this show, and it took months before someone pointed out like, that's not true. And I was like, oh, okay, well, yeah, what the fuck she supposed to do about her mom putting her house up?
Right.
You know, I don't know. And in that case, you don't see people being like, his mama fucking put her house up protecting this church because she's not the famous one, and we, you know, so it has to be Nikki's fault somehow,
right?
But yeah, we'll see if it's true because we don't know. Let's see what else happened. Put on blast, a designer rips the sparkle off of Ashanti's shimmery cakes for returning a bespattered bikini. Shout out to Bossip. Only they can do it this way,
right?
Yeah, I don't know if people have been paying attention, but you know, Ashanti is still fine as hell,
ain't she though? What, 37, 38, somewhere around in there? Yeah.
Somewhere around there. I still remember her being, you know, the woman in the Ja Rule videos.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Ashanti nearly broke the internet with her shimmery Ciroc ad cakes, recently. And now the people who lent out her bikini has something to say.
Can we see the picture?
Okay. Give me 1 second. I'll put it on screen. Sorry, my Firefox is, freezing and then moving, freezing and moving.
Oh, no problem.
But the store owner who goes by Aiden Yon,
yes, girlfriend, that's what I'm talking about,
posted and deleted some jabs at the singer for returning a filthy bikini. He claims he reached out to her team and about the staining and had no response. Yeah, he said, "You look beautiful in your new Ciroc campaign, but I've tried the professional approach to reach out to your stylist and your team, and still no definitive response about getting a reimbursement on the damaged bikini your team sent back. It's unfair for small online business owners like myself to keep quiet, keep quiet and stay in fear of ruining one's reputation and losing possible clients when there is so much passion, investment, and hard work that goes into what may seem like a simple, cute, glittery bikini to some." Yeah, this is that doing work for exposure thing. This is that doing work for exposure thing that sometimes people trick folks into doing. Like, just do it for the exposure. It's like, okay, but this is costing me something, and the exposure ain't worth it if I don't get paid.
Right.
The bikini, for example, as I've mentioned before, is all handmade. It took 16 hours of labor, over 6,000 hand-placed Swarovski crystals that I personally placed. This was a free of charge pool, and the bikini was to be used in another planned pool right after this project. I lost that pool, followed with a stylist I highly respect, because the bikini was returned damaged and unwearable. I've been fishing and chasing a discounted reimbursement that I still have yet to receive. Your campaign and yourself look beautiful, but I'm still getting brushed under the rug over something that only seems unfair. Well, listen, I'm gonna tell you how you played this wrong. You should have immediately put a gently soiled Ashanti bikini on eBay, because you could have got all your money back. I feel like there's some freaks out there, and you totally underestimated the freak market, because there's a lot of people, that's their thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, okay? There's Japanese businessmen getting underwear out of
a vending machine
right now that would put it all on the line for a whiff of that Ashanti, okay? I'm just saying.
Sir.
You totally fucked up, dog. But maybe this was an ad. Maybe that's, because I know that's what my black ass would be like. Listen, I got gently used Ashanti underwear for free, for posted on eBay. Get the bidding. Let's go. Thank you, Ashanti. That's what I'll be doing. I'll just be holding up a plastic bag and like, full of Ashanti juice. let's see here. So Riz is back in the news for something that I thought we all knew happened last year, but it resurfaced because he recently did an interview. Apparently the Wu-Tang has a new album out too, which,
okay,
yeah, basically. So the RZA had an interview on The Breakfast Club. By the way, this entire story is so bizarre to me. It's almost like proof positive of people. It's so many agendas floating. Like, people, this is why nobody ever gets canceled. This is why niggas stay getting multiple chances. Outrage, flip-flopping, all that shit happening in one collective story. So RZA was on The Breakfast Club with Charlamagne Tha God and DJ Envy and Paula Angela Yee, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in the interview, he admitted that Russell Crowe did spit on Azalea Banks at a Hollywood party last year. That was the party where we covered that on the show. She started acting real bizarre. Mm-hmm. Eventually got, I don't know if she hit him or some shit, Russell Crowe, but then they got into an altercation where he threw her out. He spit on her.
Right.
And even me at the time, I was like, it's not that I don't believe Azalea Banks. It's that it's Azalea Banks. So right. Who knows what the fuck happened in that party.
Right. And y'all can both be trash ass people.
Yeah. Like she continued, like, and this is the thing, with her is so many, she is a black woman and so many people just have their team. So it's like team black woman, bam, the end. I don't give a fuck what they ever do. But she's transphobic. She's homophobic. She's violent. She's hit people. She's colorist. She's like, she's a lot of shit. Like she's the kind of person where it's like a broke clock is right twice a day and people will never cancel her because of that. You know, which is same thing with Charlamagne, by the way. Like, for to me, the same reason she's around with a lot of people, they don't even really like her music. She's just around because they like the idea of a black woman.
Yeah, most people don't even know what her music sound like.
Right. But same thing with Charlamagne though, right? It's the same people that go, I don't understand why there's a Charlamagne for shit like this. Because there's other times where you're like, he's trash. Why the fuck do y'all fuck with him? And then he does like one thing right and everybody's like, oh, I fuck with that dude. Glad he was there. You know, it's just the prism of blackness, right? Like, when they don't agree, you gotta go. When they do, then it's cool, right? At any rate, I remember back then the RZA being like, yeah, that shit happened and I'm staying. Like, he wanted to sign her or some shit. He took her to this event. They had an altercation. He basically was like, dropped her. I'm not signing her. Fuck it. And which I'm like, why'd you want to sign her after all this shit she's done anyway? But okay. You know, where money can be made.
Right.
So this time though, the difference is Charlamagne asked the question in a way that made it so that it was about, like, he basically was like, you allowed this white man to spit on a black woman and now it's back. Cause I was wondering how it got back in the news, but it's Charlamagne kind of positioned the thing as a, oh, so what kind of man are you as a black man to let this happen to a black woman in your presence? Cause you know, Charlamagne is so good to black women. Remember, the picture of Rick Ross and Angela Yee as fucking, Charlamagne and Envy sat in the background watching this dude be creepy in front of her. Like, the whole fucking thing is such a shit show of people like flip flopping on this. It's like nobody in the situation has any integrity. So everybody is just kind of like, it's a Rorschach test. I see an ink blot. Is it a butterfly or is it two lamps? Like, everyone's just seeing what they want to see here. And I mean, I guess it's good for the clicks and everything, but his publicist released a statement that was basically like, which by the way, the statement is simply that the RZA admitted this last year. He did an interview with TMZ October 2016, where he clearly stated that Russell did in fact spit at Banks around the 28 second mark. He never denied that. While there's no excuse for spitting at anyone, you'd have to be in the room to witness the whole ordeal to see exactly why the night ended that way. Like I said, it's everybody fucking up at the same time and me going, okay, is this really what is happening? You know what I mean? But Azalea Banks, one of those people I refuse to step in front of the bullet for her. And same thing with Charlamagne's questioning, the same thing with the RZA, to be honest with y'all, like all three of them, okay, happy fighting, but I'm not doing it. Let's see what else we got. Lupita Nyong'o revealed she was sexually harassed by Harvey Weinstein. She said she was offered a role in a Weinstein co-film and she declined. I knew I would not do it simply because it was the Weinstein company, but I did not feel comfortable telling this to anybody. I turned down the role, but Harvey would not take no for an answer. While at cons, he insisted on meeting me in person. I agreed to do it only because my agent would be present. In the meeting, he was honest about intending to persuade me to do this movie. I told him I simply did not feel it was a role I needed to play. He said he was open to making it bigger, more significant. Maybe he could add a love scene. He said if I did this one for him, he would do another one for me, basically guaranteeing back in the star vehicle film for me. I ran out of ways to politely say no, and so did my agent. I was so exasperated by the end, I just kept quiet. He finally accepted my position to express he still wanted to work with me at some point. Thank you, I hope so. I lied. Then her past personal encounter was, our business is complicated because intimacy is part and parcel of our profession. As actors, we're paid to do very intimate things in public. That's why someone can have the audacity to invite you to their home or hotel and you show up. Precisely because of this, we must stay vigilant and ensure that professional intimacy is not abused. I hope we are in a pivotal moment where a sisterhood and brotherhood of allies is being formed in our industry. I hope we can form a community where a woman can speak up about abuse and not suffer another abuse by not being believed and instead being ridiculed. That's why we don't speak up for fear of suffering twice and for fear of being labeled and characterized by our moment of powerlessness. Though we may have endured powerlessness at the hands of Harvey Weinstein, by speaking up and speaking out and speaking together, we regain that power that we hopefully ensure that this kind of rampant predatory behavior as an accepted feature of our industry dies here and now. God damn, girl. Now that we are speaking, let us never shut up about this kind of thing. I speak up to make certain this is not the kind of misconduct that deserves a second chance. I speak up to contribute to the end of the conspiracy of silence. Jesus. Woo.
I guess she need to write for Sonny.
For Sonny
Anderson.
Which one's Sonny Anderson? Oh yeah, that one hurt you.
I was a huge fan of hers. I used to love her. Like I said, she was one of the few black people. And when right. I say that hurt, that really, really hurt. Because the thing about it is that for her in particular, I'm not even going to lie, a lot of people criticized her because she was a black woman and she's heavy. So a lot of times the way they clothe her, mm-hmm. they would clothe her in like weirdly, like big stuff, and just try to kind of constantly hide a weight. Mm-hmm. She almost like Rachel Ray, kind of went up on a weight, went down on a weight, went up on a weight, went down on a weight, Food Network is predominantly white, so I'm getting you can see a lot of white people criticize her because of these things. And so it's one of those things where I supported her. You know, her food was good. I think I even got a book or two of hers. And I think for me, it's very hurtful for you to say that because you were a victim. And so, like you said, it took the other people speaking up in order for your case to go forward, because if it would have just been you, a one woman show, nobody would have gave a fuck.
Right. She found a way to make it about the women. By the way, there were two encounters. That was the second one. In the first one, she said that, she left the situation in another incident where they were at dinner. He suggested they go upstairs to a private room. She says, if I wanted to be an actress, then I had to be willing to do this sort of thing. When she declined, he said, so we are done here. You can leave. She also had to, and this is the part that's so humiliating, but she had to ask, like, are we good? And he was like, I don't know about your career, but we're fine. We're good. So, you know, what does that mean? Like, that's that implication of, like, I'm a torpedo your career, but, you know, you didn't fuck me, so we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Right, and that's the shit. Nobody wants to make him mad because he's so powerful, and that's what really, really frustrate me about everybody with these quote-unquote hot takes. They act like this man didn't have no power. They act like these women not making him mad could cause the end of their career. You know what I mean? They act like, you know, how he feels and his mood swings couldn't make or break shit. And one of the things, no means no. I told you no. My agent told you no. You're still calling. You're still begging. You're still pleading. You know, you were overly, all out of all the women, you were pinpointed on me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's that trophyism too, because she was such a hot commodity. You know, that's the thing. Like, people are, like I said, I'm not saying race doesn't affect us at all, because it definitely does. It affects everything. Even who can get in the room, who gets an agent, who gets the idea of being in a vehicle that can help their career. There's just not very many black women. But a predator like this is looking for desperation. So you just never know what the fuck he's into. So we can't just assume it's the exact same thing as sexual preference. Like, oh, I only fuck this type of chick. Do you, or you, or I mean, can we say that with certainty, or is it that he fucks anybody that he thinks he can make a buck off of that also has no power in the situation? And I don't mean fuck because he didn't literally fuck everybody, but he attacks these women because he expects them to be that desperate to be a star. So it's like, you better come upstairs with me. No? Oh, okay. Well, I'm gonna try it on the next woman, you know? And it got so bad, people just weren't going to meetings. Like, it sounds like a lot of women just were like, well, then I just won't do any movies with them. So enough people knew that the reputation preceded him, yet somehow he still was around.
Yeah, and this, and not to get off topic, this goes back to Lupita, when a lot of people criticize her about picking certain roles and mm-hmm. doing certain things.
Why she keep working with Star Wars and Disney and she ain't on screen and all this shit. Now she's like the Disney woman over there. She got like, what, 3 or 4 movies working with Disney now.
Right, and I think that frustrates me, particularly when the criticism... and I understand, because a lot of times when it come to black women feel a certain way, but also black women need freedoms, and a lot of times people act like when it comes to black people, particularly black women, you should accept anything. Well, you're there, just be honored and grateful that you're there, and just accept anything that they throw you, and you know, and they just put these ridiculous demands on you when you don't know personally if she wanted that role, if that role fit her, if her schedule would have allowed her to do certain things. She may have wanted it and be like, nah, it's a scheduling conflict. And I understand that there are some things that are race based, don't get me wrong. But when it comes to that, I feel like a lot of that criticism towards her, in my opinion, was completely unfair. We don't know. We don't know why she opted to do certain things. We don't know. This right here may have allowed her to enhance her career, you know, but we're so quick to want to, because I understand that black women and black people want to see themselves, and they want to see themselves represented, and they don't want to see a CGI, they don't want a voice, so I completely understand that. But you also got to understand that that's where a lot of the technology is going, so you have to be diverse. And she's working with the motherfucking best out there right now. Who would fucking pass that chance to work with a living legend who will probably go down as one of the best ever whenever he retires? You know, it's one of those things where
yeah, you talking about Andy Serkis.
Yeah, Andy Serkis. Yeah, so I applaud her for making the decision that's best for her.
Well, also though, she still had other things in the irons, right? Like, you still had she played the mom in the chess movie, Queen of Cotway.
And I love that movie.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people didn't go see it.
Right.
You know, a lot of people, oh, we need representation. I'm gonna wait for the Star Wars movie. If you saw the Star Wars movie and didn't see Queen of Cotway, I mean, can you really even say anything to a certain extent?
And that's my problem.
You spent Star Wars money, but then when it was Africa Chess, it was, I don't need to see Lupita. Well, that's the one, she ain't got no CGI. But the other thing was that she still had, like, she's one person, she can only film so many things, but then you have to think about this avenue that was essentially cut off to her. Like, there's this, how, that we would have never known about if all these women hadn't come forward. We would have just been like, well, I guess the industry don't really fuck with her. Like, they say they fuck with her, but the only role she got to do was a waitress in a stewardess in a Liam Neeson movie, which she probably filmed before 12 Years a Slave. 12 Years a Slave, and then CGI Star Wars. Well, we didn't know that there was a whole avenue of her life, basically her professional career, that she had to say, no, because I don't want to fuck this guy simply to have a part. And who knows what influences he may have tried to have on her career, you know? And also, a big part of this story that people didn't talk about is Weinstein was waning in power, similar to Cosby. So his company was already kind of trying to freeze him out, and this is another way of being like, well, let's stop protecting him, essentially. That I feel like that's the same thing that happened with Cosby too. He, once he had less power, it was easier to be like, well, no need to protect him. People had brought up that shit with them women before, you know. Hannibal Buress brought up in a fucking joke, and people were like, we're latching on this time because fuck him, he ain't got no power. So yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people want to look altruistic in the hindsight, and But to me, and there's no way these people could have known, but I've just always trusted Lupita know better about her career than I do.
Me too.
So why would I, you know, I didn't feel like, you know, and she did interviews and she was like, no, these are the things I want to do.
Right.
So to me, that was the end of it. When people were writing about like, oh, she needs to do this and that. And it's like, well, when the actress herself comes out and says, I like these roles, I'm learning some skills that I can use forever. This is what I want to do. I want to work with Disney. I want to learn CGI, motion capture and stuff. I want to do this. I'm like, well, that's the end of it for me, you know? So anyway, I guess kind of we already are doing it. So. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe. We find different articles to make us feel fucked with as black people. And we assign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals 25. Today's contestants, everybody. Hey. And 100 for the one we just talked about. So apparently Complex Media is having
that's a website, news website, right?
Yeah, it's okay. A hip-hop/news thing. They're getting into podcasting and YouTube shows now. I think they have Everyday Struggle with Joe Budden and I don't listen to the show, so I don't know all their names, but Academics, that's his name. And I think they may even have a woman on the show, but it's basically like what do you call it? It's basically like First Take, but with hip hop.
Okay.
A lot of arguing, mm-hmm. A lot of spectacle.
Right.
It goes viral. People talk about it because they fight so much. Well, now they're having they started a show with Mia Khalifa, the porn star who has 2 million followers on Twitter.
Why they were talking about Hood Up. I was like, why are y'all talking about this woman?
Yeah, she's known for like outing athletes who come at her DMs and mm-hmm. shit like that.
Yeah, got called out for making black people wear condoms.
Yeah, and that was trash. Porn equality is my cause, okay, people? If you're gonna be fucking everybody wrong, fuck everybody wrong. Don't just put the condoms on the black people. That's racist.
Right. If we gonna put condoms for everybody. Right. If not, we condom free them.
Yeah, you barely having good sex. But listen, I'm the Martin Luther King of condom equality in the porn industry, okay? But anyway, she and Gilbert Arenas, two well-known trolls, are gonna be doing a sports show. So that's the kind of shit that Complex Media is doing right now. Oh, we're at the break. Let me go to the next session. Be right back, guys. Get everyone back.
That's gonna be interesting, honey. Y'all be talking about them on Ball Deep Sports.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the king of motherfucking petty.
Yeah, Gilbert is just the trolliest of trolls, you know, like that's his whole thing is, he trolls his ex-wife, he trolls his kids, he trolls Nick Young's kids. The idea of wanting to tie your brand to him is definitely definitely a note that, hey, we're just all about, getting the clicks. But also same thing with Joe Budden, you know? Like at this point, Joe Budden's way more known for his opinions on other people's popular music than his unpopular music, you know? Rachel Dolezal apparently was invited to be on a panel at Complex Con. They're doing their own convention for Complex. And they had a panel that was supposed to be about some trolls coming. Now, here's the thing. On Friday when I saw this link and saved it, I was like, they must, like this, two things. The first thing was, oh, Complex must be owned by white people. Cause I feel like no black person, even in the name of trolling, would even attempt to invite her. Right? The other members on the panel were also trolls. Azalea Banks was listed as supposed to show up. And you know, because of who Complex caters to, my guess is they expect a lot of black people to be at this event. You're gonna have Azalea Banks there. You're gonna have you know, who's homophobic, transphobic, all kinds of colorist, all kinds of fucked upness, right? I think it was Spencer Pratt, who I don't know what he's
whatever it is. It's probably fucked up too, don't know.
Right, I don't know what his thing is. It was supposed to be there was some like two or three other people that were on the panel, and then of course Rachel Dolezal out, and Pharrell was supposed to host it, Pharrell Williams. And that right there, let me know, like I said, one, white people must run this shit, because there's no fucking way that there's no way black people would allow this to happen at this point. Like, I feel like the fucking, it's been out, you know, we know the jury is in on her, so to say. Now the second thing is, I went back this morning and Rachel Dolezal is gone.
No shit.
So I don't know if they got enough pushback. I don't know if
I was like, that's not a good idea, you have people protesting this shit.
I don't know, because I mean, was this always the goal? Like, I think the whole panel is gone now.
You know what? That will make 100%. They probably got so much pushback. People go, I'm not buying tickets to go see that bullshit.
Yeah, LeVar Ball is supposed to be at this thing for another panel called The Disruptors. So I don't know. I don't know if they came to their better senses or
money. People's like money. No, when sponsors may have been like no.
The whole fucking panel's gone. The whole panel's gone. So I guess they decided enough people got mad. But yeah, they were gonna have Rachel Dolezal speak and Azalea Banks and a bunch of other people about being trolls.
And that makes 100% sense for it to be canceled. You rather cancel it now than have it and people show up and it's a shit show, which is probably what you want for the clicks and shit.
Yeah.
Or people go, I'm not paying to see fucking Rachel Dolezal.
Maybe it was always a joke. I don't know. People supposed to pay $100 to go see this shit. Maybe it was always, maybe that was the inside joke, because we're going to be trolling, you know. But I mean, they already had enough, you know, people that are already stars and shit that appear to be showing up. I don't know why they would have to resort to that shit. Anyway, I'm looking at the list of people. I mean, these are some big names, you know. So yes, anyway, ridiculous. I'm glad it got canceled, but 100 for the whole idea in the first place.
Yes.
Fucking idiots, man. And yeah, I now here's the thing. If it would have been online video tickets or something, like I gotta pay $10 to see this, your boy would have paid the 10 for this panel. I'm not gonna lie, guys.
I'm not paying $100.
I would have paid the 10 for the panel. I would probably up to 25. I would have paid to see this one particular panel if it would have come together. So I guess I'm part of the problem as well, because that sounds like a certified shit show.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That would have been the purpose.
Right.
You'd have been here to Snapchat and stream it and post it on Facebook. Because one of those things where everything now is about going viral. And they know this group of people would have definitely said some viral shit.
Yeah, like I would have paid for that shit. Joe said, then you would be mad. No, I wouldn't. Y'all, maybe you don't understand. Maybe you've been listening to this show all these years with a common misunderstanding of me. Oh, I wouldn't have been mad. I get entertained at a shit show. Okay, I saw Geostorm in the theaters yesterday. Okay, I paid the full 15 to see Geostorm yesterday. Okay, I was cackling like a motherfucking fool, and everybody in the theater was looking at me like, why is this shit so funny to him? Because it's a goddamn comedy to me.
Yes, Geostorm with a Geo Metro trying to outrun the storm.
It was outrunning the storm. It was.
I know it was.
They had a self-driving taxi outrunning the storm.
Yes.
Dodging lightning strikes. Y'all missed a good one.
I bet you it was a classic.
Y'all missed a good one, y'all. I'm telling you. But yeah, I would watch a shit show. I don't give a fuck. They ain't got no reflection on me. You know what I mean?
No. Like,
that's y'all looking stupid. And I'm entertained by y'all being dumb as fuck. I would like, ooh, I can't even imagine. Just imagine what Azalea Banks would have to say to Rachel Dolezal. The Spider-Man pointing at Spider-Man. So good. But yeah, 100 for the whole idea and shit.
Yes, obviously. Still 100 for the idea.
Solange is in the news. She is upset with this magazine because they photoshopped her braid off of the cover on the Evening Standard. So the Evening Standard had a picture of her on the cover. Is like a Solange, you know, But she had done this really complicated braid that was like intricate, you know. It was like, it basically made a halo on the back of her head almost. Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all can see it in the chat.
We can.
Okay, well, she saw that they edited, photoshopped it out, and yeah, she ended up responding to the cover's publication by highlighting the missing part of the braid on Instagram stories. She posted a segment of her interview where she spoke to the magazine about braiding. Braiding is important to know. It is an act of beauty, an act of convenience, and an act of tradition. It is its own art form, she adds. Every black woman has a personal journey with her own hair. And for Nose, it began in her mother's salon, which was a refuge, a spare bedroom, so to speak. For her, as a young girl growing up, there was pivotal. I got to experience women arriving in one state of mind and leaving in a completely transformed way. It wasn't just about hair, it was about the sisterhood and the storytelling. Being a young girl who was really active in dance theater and on the swim team, the salon was kind of a safe haven. Then she posted on Instagram a picture of the unedited photo, which captured DTMH. I would imagine, don't touch my hair. The title of one of her most critically acclaimed songs. That is so wild. They literally did touch up her hair and take it out.
Yeah, because they didn't want to show it. They didn't want to, quote unquote, offend their readers.
Yeah, like, what was offensive about it? She looks beautiful.
Yes, she does.
Like a fucking, like, Star Wars princess or something with the, look at them earrings. And then, you know, the whole, like, circle and spiral. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, because Shalonda's point is too black. They don't want to admit that it's too black. Like right. What other reason? If this was a white woman with her hair done like that, there's no way in the world you would have edited that out.
Oh, they love, they don't mind editing, leaving it unedited when white women get braids in their hair. They come like on. To call it white women inventing braids.
Come on. So no, don't edit it out if that's not the picture she took.
Yeah, Solange took the picture and took the picture on the cover and then used the edit function on her phone to draw a circle of brown.
Oh, her head, that's hilarious.
Yeah. So maybe someone else did. I think it's from her though. Yeah, it is from her. No, I'm sorry. It was a fan that did that. I'm sorry, not her. But yeah, that's so weird. Mm-hmm. That's so weird. Jesus Christ. It literally interviewed her about the braid, photoshopped it out, and then sent up there like, oh, I love Don't Touch My Hair, so beautiful.
Right
So also, so this song is for us as white people, we claim it too. I'm sorry, go ahead, Kat.
So you're reading the article about her hair and her braid, but we don't get the braid. That's dumb. Mm-hmm. That's dumb.
Now she got to make a new song called Don't Photoshop My Hair.
Come on.
100.
Oh, same.
Massachusetts school district is sorry for a photo of a black girl on a leash. What could possibly have, what could even be the story?
Nobody's racist anymore, didn't you know that?
They have apologized after the photo appeared to show two white children holding leashes attached to the black child. By the way, both of the white children had leashes attached to the black child. And the children were wearing 17th century clothing.
Under fire for racial insensitivity, a Massachusetts school district has issued an apology for a photo that has circulated on social media appearing to show white children holding a leash attached to a black child. The picture features three third grade students posed with their teacher in 17th century wardrobe. The two white children are standing while the black child is on the floor tethered in straps. In a statement, the Bridgewater-Rainham Regional School District says the students were learning about colonial era clothing and were being taught about the tethering strap used during that time period to help teach toddlers to walk. The statement also said, without context added to the photo, it could be perceived differently. Then explained, the lesson was not intended to demean or degrade any group or person.
And this is why you need to teach people history.
I mean, they were literally teaching history right there. Here's the thing.
I don't mean literally. I mean like textbook, pictures, videotape, VHS, 8-track, like LP. Show me like that. Don't literally teach me.
how am I, as a parent of this black girl, supposed to be expected to not put my motherfucking hands on you?
And
like, how is that possible?
Yep.
That I'm supposed to take this lesson and just go, oh, it's just a mistake, just an oversight.
And I'm supposed to be calm, I'm supposed to be cool, and I'm supposed to be collect. And it's also one of those things too, to why there's a really, 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 really big increase of people that's like, fuck it, I'm teaching my, particularly brown parents, going, I'm teaching my kids at home. Like, I don't have time for this.
And here's the thing, I do believe that teacher didn't think, oh, this is like, look, black girl on a leash, hilarious. I don't think she thought that. I just want to be clear.
I believe that.
I don't think she thought that. Cause they took a picture of it, like, and they were so proud of this lesson. You can see it in her face. There's no like, uh-oh, this is problematic. But part of the problem is that you didn't think about it.
Right.
You know, like, that's, you know, a lot of cases when we talk about racism and shit, I feel like people get this like tightness in their chest when they're not black, you know, same way men get with misogyny, that straight people get with homophobia. It's like, oh, I don't want to hurt anybody, I didn't do it, I don't want to do anything wrong, you know, I just don't understand, but that aversion to learning, that aversion to even considering, is problematic in itself, because you end up repeating this kind of behavior over and over, and I don't trust you anymore.
Nope.
It doesn't even fucking matter at this point. I am incapable of looking at this picture and going, I give a benefit of doubt to this woman. You should be fired just for even fucking up this bad.
Right.
That's it. You know, I don't give a fuck if it's coincidence or not. It just, by the fact that the lesson even had, we're going to dress up and put leashes on people. We can just learn about it, read it in a book. I don't know. Like, probably come up with other ways to figure this one out, you know, because regardless, when this picture goes out, a kid on a leash gonna look bad to somebody. Somebody gonna figure a way out for it to look fucked up. But just in general, as a black parent, I don't know how you can expect me to just come to school, pick up my daughter the next day like everything cool. Like, we at minimum gotta have words, at minimum. Like, hey, can I talk to you for a second? You know, like, I don't know. It just,
yeah.
And I know it looks worse than it is. I do know. Like, it's the Dove ad thing. I get it. It's, context. I don't give a fuck about the context.
Correct.
The context is, my child is a black girl in America, and you put a fucking leash on her for some type of classroom experiment. Fuck that shit.
Right. And that's one thing that, bless parents, cause like I said, I don't know how I would respond to seeing this picture and knowing it's my child, or my child coming home and telling me that this happened to them. And it would be one of the things where they would get tired of me, because I would demand that she lost her job. I would be in front of that school every motherfucking day. Is the bitch gone yet? Is the bitch gone yet? Is the bitch gone yet? Because you do not need to teach nowhere.
Yeah, I understand. And like I said, and maybe I'm just compromised by my experience as a black person in America.
Right.
Maybe that's just all it is. I mean, because I rationally can understand the argument of, she really didn't even think about that shit. I can understand.
But that's the problem.
But god damn it, you should be thinking about this shit. I don't understand. How are we this far into Trump's presidency and you not thinking, what are the optics of this racially? You know, it's not that I don't trust that you really didn't think about it. That's the problem. They never fucking think about us. You know? That's part of the problem. We act, like Karen said, it does go to teaching people history, because if you knew your history, you'd be like, this is bad optically.
Right.
But we want white people to not feel bad when they learn, so we don't teach them this shit, and they think, I'm colorblind. Listen, I would have had anybody holding a leash. Well, guess what? There's actually some scenarios where you shouldn't have people holding leashes of other kids. That's okay. A white ex, 100, by the way. Mm-hmm. I think Karen already said hers. A white ex Tulsa cop convicted in the death of a daughter's black boyfriend. They finally got that nigga. We've covered this thing at least 3 times on the show.
Right?
Before. This is the 4th trial he's had. This is the one that got him. He's convicted of first degree manslaughter. He clearly killed that kid, because his daughter was dating a black man. His daughter, who was 18, by the way, and the boy was 19. So, for as some context, because it, all the other articles made it seem like, oh, well, you know, it's like this black boy took this young child from her parents and he's just a father trying to get his child back. No, he went Liam Neeson on this dude because his daughter, a white girl, was dating a black man, and he called him a whole bunch of motherfucking like racial epithets and shit, and then killed him in cold blood. And three juries before this went, I don't know. That's a tough one. And then they got him this time. They deliberated about 6 hours before finding him guilty to a lesser charge in the August 2014 killing of the 19-year-old Jeremy Lake, who had just started dating Kepler's 18-year-old daughter. Didn't know it would be a death sentence at the time.
And my thing is this, and something that people have a tendency to forget. Kudos to that family that had to go through this motherfucking shit four times to get a goddamn conviction.
Yeah, the family, the lawyers, imagine how much extra money was spent in the justice system retrying this motherfucker four times because people refused to accept the obvious fact he killed a black person in cold blood.
Right. And a lot of people, if you go through it one time, it's traumatic enough. The fortitude that family must have had to have, go, no, you, we're going to be sure that you go to jail.
In his juries before this, in each of the three juries, only one black person was on each one of those juries. And then another racial element has recently been added to his case when he argued that he couldn't be tried by state prosecutors because he's a member of an American Indian tribe. A judge determined a fourth trial in less than a year could move forward in the state court. He is 128th Muskogee. He tried to throw that. I'm Native American.
You buy.
Part of the tribe, y'all.
No, sir.
His attorney said the 24.
So I guess him and Waka Flocka both?
Yeah, they both were Blacktail Magazine tribe. Kepler attorney said the 24-year veteran was trying to protect Lisa Kepler because she had run away from home, was living in a crime-ridden neighborhood. Nigga, you the criminal. So you brought some crime to the neighborhood? Defense attorney Richard O'Carroll said Lisa had been in and out of a homeless shelter after her father forbade her from bringing men home into her house. What kind of men? Wonder what kind of men would make you forbid your daughter from.
So she was like,
she moved out.
Right. A grown woman was like, well, fuck it, I'm out.
He told the police he was acting in self-defense, but police didn't find a weapon on Lake or at the scene. Kepler retired from the force after he was charged. He testified he shot Lake because he wasn't given a choice, that it was him or Lake, because that's what they're trained to say. Kepler said he pulled the trigger because he saw Lake pull a semi-automatic weapon out of his pocket. So he lied. He just lied.
When it was like,
because that's what they taught to do.
Right, it was like, ain't no gun, ain't no evidence of a gun. Nobody had no gun but you. What's happening here?
Every cop says they saw a gun and they were in fear of their life because every jury just about accepts it as reason. They don't need a weapon. They don't need any evidence that there was aggression or anything. Just, I thought I was under attack, so I killed him. Well, what was he supposed to do? Black person? I mean, that's pretty much a weapon in itself. Kepler said he never felt resentment or hatred towards Lake. He said he went to the shooting scene to find Lisa after the return home.
After you put her out? Well, no, after she ran away.
Right. He said he saw people coming toward him after he pulled the trigger, so he got in his car and left the scene of killing this man. Right. Prosecutors said Kepler first watched his daughter and Lake from his SUV before approaching them on the street. Lake's aunt disputed Kepler's self-defense account and has said that her nephew was reaching out to shake Kepler's hand and introduce himself when Kepler fired. Jurors in the previous three trials were deadlocked 11-1. Which one was the one? 10-2 and then 6-6, forcing the judge to declare mistrials. Although they couldn't agree on the murder charge, jurors in the first trial convicted him of recklessly using his firearm. You know what? He got convicted and it's still a fucking 100 for me. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah. It's 100. Yeah.
I don't even have a reason to tell y'all why, but I'm always be fucked with by this.
Yes, sir.
This should have happened the first fucking time. And it's still a lesser charge. All right, I gotta get out of this segment. This shit is killing me. oh man. Let's do some guest arrays, guys. Let's just do some guest arrays and get out of here. Good grief.
Now that it's time for some guest arrays. That's right, it's guest arrays time. Now that it's time for some guest arrays. That's right, it's guest arrays time.
That's right, it's time for guest arrays. The number one game show going across all of podcast land, where we read or play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen in the chat room, to guess the race and all the people playing our races. All right, let's see who we got here. How about this one? A Toronto teen, Dr. Kitty, performed botched plastic surgery in her basement, say the cops.
What?
Yeah. Oh, wait. Am I still sharing my screen? I don't need y'all to see this.
I didn't realize you were sharing it. My bad.
A 19-year-old Toronto woman allegedly posing as a plastic surgeon and working out of a basement has been arrested. Dr. Kitty, a.k.a. Jingyi Kitty Wang, was taken into custody on Friday, October 13th, is being charged with aggravated assault after surgery she performed led to serious infection and the need for a corrective procedure. Wang did not graduate high school and has no official training for the procedure she was peddling. She was arrested during a raid on a basement clinic she had allegedly been operating in, located under a private home. Wang's services were advertised via a flyer in April of this year at a local restaurant in north end of Toronto in the Yonge and Finch area. Young and Finch, I don't know. Police say the ads include a barcode to be scanned into a smartphone for more info. Ooh, that's diabolical right there. The face slimming injections was one of the procedures Wang allegedly offered. The woman who filed a complaint against her that led to her arrest underwent a face filler procedure. The victim's name is not currently public, but police said she is in close age to Wang. Who knows how many other establishments this ad is placed in? Toronto police spokesperson Allison Douglas Cook told the Toronto Star, "It's quite discreet how it is, so there's a possibility that there may be others, and a very high likelihood that there may have been others who have responded to this ad and sought services of this person. Police believe there were other victims." Guess the race of Dr. Kitty, aka Jingyi Kitty Wang.
Asian.
Karen's going with Asian. Let's check the chat room, see what they believe. Revenge of the North Vietnamese. Oh. Wang also served wings and fried rice out of the same clinic. Asian.
Oh.
Bootleg surgery and CDs. Asian. Shrimp fried rice. Oh, the correct answer is, y'all all right, she's Asian. I'll tell you this much. She had some nerve. You call yourself a doctor and you ain't even get out of high school? I mean, shit. I guess Doogie Howser did it, but I mean, nigga went to college at least. I mean, well, no, he graduated high school early. That's all, like.
Yeah, he graduated at 16, 17, 15, whatever, 12, something like that.
Right, Dr. Kitty. Mm-mm-mm.
Did nobody check to see if her license was on the wall or nothing?
Hell, you know they ain't checked. You walk in there and a fucking 17-year-old got a needle, like, you knew what that was. I mean, the ad was on the damn telephone pole next to a missing dog, probably.
Duh!
You know what I mean? And I don't mean that in a racist way, so please don't. That's not how I meant it. Babysitting services. Also, facial injections from Dr. Kitty. Ooh, I got to see about this.
Also, my house, would you like to flip your house?
Right.
Followed by, my cat's missing, have you seen it?
Get my mixtape.
Yes, get my mixtape.
Oh, also, I'm going to get face surgery from this woman. These are all good ideas.
I know. We got an attic sale tomorrow from 8 a.m. to 2.
Right. Oh, my God. You must be out your motherfucking mind. I wish the nigga would talk about some damn face surgery. Sorry, my candle went out. I need more pumpkin spice to get through the rest of this.
In your life.
I can't get through the rest of the show without this pumpkin spice smell filtering the
house.
Oh,
yeah, you had a pumpkin spice. What was that yesterday?
Oh, I had a pumpkin spice martini, y'all.
It was actually pretty good.
I said, what's y'all drink specials? We was at the Liberty. She said, well, we got pumpkin spice I said, hey, I'll take that. I'm a basic bitch.
I know. She didn't even finish what it was. He was like, I got it.
It don't even matter what that is. Pumpkin spice me up, baby.
It was actually good.
I still gotta go order that pumpkin spice wine off of Triangle Wine Co. That's happening.
All right. And also, I know, not to get off topic, but found out from one of our fans that Triangle Wine actually sells non-alcoholic wine. So for you, those of you out there go, well, I don't drink, you can still get the discount off the non-alcoholic wine and eat cheese and crackers with us and have a good time.
Was it tasty, Miss AD? Oh, it was tasty. It tastes like a milkshake.
It did. It tastes like a milkshake
with some pumpkin spice in it. So good. A dad of two faked terminal cancer and spent $23,000 in donation money on booze, marijuana, and video games.
Oh, shit.
A man from Minnesota has been arrested after conning people into giving him money by pretending he had been diagnosed with terminal cancer, but instead he spent the money on video games and marijuana. Faribault police were tipped off about Jeremiah John Smith's callous scheme that saw him tuck his way into raising $7,000 from donations through a GoFundMe page and further $15,000 through several community fundraising events.
Ooh,
the 37-year-old told friends, family, and well-wishers that he was battling stage 4 cancer and had between 18 months to 2 years to live.
Wow.
According to a criminal complaint as seen by KTTC, Smith even quit his job shortly after revealing his diagnosis. Investigators say Smith spent all the money from fundraisers, with some of the money going towards paying off $4,000 in outstanding bills. The rest was spent on alcohol, marijuana, dart tournaments, and mobile video game Clash of Clans.
Oh, shit. That thing they promote on TV, ain't it?
Yep. Got all his dough. It is surprising. I guess you don't expect to see people pretend to have a disease to try and make money off of it, Rice County Attorney John Folsom told WCCO.
People out here really got diseases and shit and really dying.
I'm fairly confident that Mr. Smith was the only one that was aware that he wasn't sick when they were planning these fundraisers. He didn't really give it away to anyone. He was playing his part. He was acting like a con man, he said. Smith's own wife, Amanda, became suspicious of her husband after she was unable to find medical records or bills that would back up his story about having treatment. He didn't tell his own wife, y'all.
Wow.
Just begging to get caught. Compounding her suspicions was the fact that every time Smith had a doctor's appointment, he refused to let his wife come along for support. Walter White on her ass. I got to do this by myself. You hear that a man get shot and you think that of me? I am the danger. When investigators asked for his medical records, he promised to turn them over, but he never did. When investigators met several weeks later, he continued to stick to his story, telling them the cancer had spread to his colon, to his kidneys, and bladder.
The doctors would have had evidence of this, like...
Yeah, everybody would have had doctor's bills. I mean, ain't none of this free, right?
Come on.
Eventually, police obtained a search warrant to obtain his medical records, which revealed he was not sick at all, at least not physically. The criminal complaint shows...
No, not physically! Mentally, yes.
Used some of the money to play video games like Clash of Clans and buy marijuana, as well as pay off some credit cards. That's what you should say. Oh no, the marijuana cured my cancer. Y'all say it's a miracle drug. Legalize it. Police contributed over $20,000 to help pay for the, I mean, people contributed over $20,000 to help pay for this, which again, he blew on other things to spend the money on. People who contributed feel betrayed because how could you feel anything else? Smith now faces a felony charge of theft by swindle and goes.
Oh, shit, not swindle.
And he could face up to 10 years of prison if convicted. GoFundMe has promised to refund all the donors who had their trash taken in the scheme.
Wow.
Well, Karen, guess the race of Mr. Jeremiah John Smith.
White.
All right. Walter White. Let's check the chat room, see what they believe. White man who wanted to relive his frat boy days. No one cares about a black man dying white. John Jacob Jakenheimer, lying ass, could only get away with this because Mayo white, and now he'll be on Dancing with the Mediocre White Stars. Spending Aww. Money on dart tournaments. Come on, buddy. White. Right. Tom Hanks from the movie Big. Fuck being honest, white. Call donors all kinds of niggers playing Call of Duty white.
Aww,
white. The Mayo sapien Caucasity white. White but funky. Saltine Fury line ass white. Oh my god. The correct answer is white. You all got it.
Yeah, what's wrong with people?
Mm-mm-mm. I've had people was like, you know, you looking kind of healthy for a cancer patient. I mean, you ain't losing no hair or nothing. Oh yeah, I do need to shave my hair. I mean, yes, I'm chemo starts tomorrow, so just, you guys know how it is. Anyway, you got some more weed? Yeah. I'm gonna need to.
People got thousands of dollars of goddamn medical bills that they can't pay off, trying to get money to live and survive.
Let me know if you want to play Destiny later on. I'm gonna be online. So just the fact that he lied to his own wife. Well, I just want to support you and talk to the doctor. I mean, you think the doctor would want to talk to me about what we would need to do if something happens? Yeah, I don't think they're going to want to talk to you. I'll take care of it. I'll talk to them. It'll be fine. Anyway, love you. Go to work so I can play video games. Just treat my cancers. Thank you. All right, bonus round.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race, and a bonus round against the race. So far, Karen's 2 for 2. Let's see if she can finish strong, y'all.
I'm about to see, dog.
You never know with this one. You right. Never know. Most people 2 for 2, I think. Everybody's 2 for 2. An awkward moment happened at a church when a married pastor is confronted in the middle of church service about sleeping with a parishioner's daughter.
Oh shit, now.
And it is caught on video. The video captured the awkward moment. A woman stood up in the middle of church service and accused the pastor, married pastor, of sleeping with her daughter. This is at the World Fellowship Baptist Church in Prentice, Mississippi.
Oh, black.
Okay, Karen's going right, going black already. A woman stood up in the pews and made allegations from Pastor Billy Walker, who have been carrying on that he had been carrying on an affair with her daughter for 3 years.
What?
Yeah, yeah. According to the woman, the pastor had called the police on her daughter after she confronted him about having another woman on the side.
Wow.
She was like the other woman. All right, there is video of this if you guys want to hear the audio to guess the race.
My child wrong. After all this time, you're going to press charges against her. And it took her to catch you with another member of the church for her to pay and get mad. He would leave you alone. Or the police already out here. So if you want to call somebody, you can step right out the door because the police is out here. Oh, Lord. That's my child. Lord, in this church wouldn't do what I'm doing for my baby. Cause you should have pissed your wool on. 3 years you've been messing with her. And I know about it. 3 years. He already got fast, sir. Just walk out the door. She saw him. Tell him you saw him. He already got the door. Just walk out the door. She said, I got to go out the door. I'm
we have
a disturbance here at 2218 Columbia Avenue. Oh, he called the police. He called police on everybody. Mamas, daughters, everybody can get it.
And we don't have church. Amen?
Amen.
Is that all right?
Amen.
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 At this time, we wouldn't ask you.
People like shit. They really was like, amen, we gonna still have church. Oh my god. Yeah.
No, the hell, we ain't about to have nothing up in hell.
No, we about to have Maury up in this bitch church.
Somebody says, we about to have a deliverance for you, pastor.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, according to the person that uploaded the clip, Pastor Walker's wife Vivian was sitting in the pews while the incident occurred. Church money must be good. All right, Karen, guess the race.
Oh yeah, black, yeah, because right. Yeah, and that's one of this one of running jokes, like yeah, you better be glad that that woman talking to you, pastor, was saved and sanctified and Holy Ghost filled, honey, because she might have jumped on you in the pulpit and wouldn't give a damn about you or your wife.
Yeah, well, his wife went up. I mean, listen, I seen that woman. His wife didn't want it with that woman anyway.
Right. And
she would have got drugged all up through the church. Everybody.
Come on, because I don't know, you know, the woman, but you can tell in a black woman's voice that she was serious about it. And
her wig is coming off. Her
wig would have been coming off.
Not only would her wig been coming off, she was ready. She was like, oh, you come at me, we gonna have problems up in here today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things to where it's a disgrace that you allow service to continue on as usual.
Mm-hmm.
Like this incident didn't even happen at all.
I mean,
we're not gonna address it or nothing.
If we don't acknowledge it, Karen, it's like, I mean, in a way, it's kind of like it didn't happen, you know. Mm-hmm. If you think about it.
I'm telling you right now, co-pastor over here, you let something like that come out, co-pastor, they ain't got to worry about whore.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. They going down. You going to be calling the cops.
Who are you finna try? I bet it ain't me. Ooh, bitch, it ain't me. Caps. Who are you
Mm-hmm. You'd have been like, yeah, I'm calling hell. Police.
Mm-hmm.
My wife is choking the hell out of me in front of the whole congregation.
Tell the truth.
That's what I would have been like if I was sitting in the congregation. We finna have church, amen.
Tell the truth.
Mm-mm. Nah. That, mm-mm. Anyway, let me get to y'all's guesses, okay? Oh, there's a lot of guesses. Hold on.
Black.
Nigga shit. Woo, you fit in the tribe. Black, says Carol. Eddie Long's cousin looking for his wrap me in your Torah moment because I'm busted with my hands in my cookie jar, called out by a black mama at church. Black. This pastor also wants to eat Nicki Minaj's booty. Black.
I forgot about that one.
They have Martin Luther King fans. Black. Pimp in the pulpit. Black. Jamal Black Bryant. Jamal Bryant Black. Creflo Dollar. Lonnie Love. Leon Lottie Love. Flying pimping ass preacher. Black. Turn to your neighbor and ask if your pastor slept with your daughter too. Black.
Oh no.
Say neighbor. Black. Leon Lottie Love put hands on Sister Gina. That woman set me up. Amen. Black. Some reason word got spoken today. Black. Pastor will be back in the pulpit next Sunday. Black.
Yep. Nobody had canceled.
All that was missing was Medea. Pastor Lonnie Love Black. Black, the upper room is not the only place he is going.
Oh Lord.
Mm-hmm. And they wonder why I stopped going to church. Smut. Black. Shit, I might go back if they doing this.
I ain't trying to be on World Star, so I'm good.
Shit, if I knew it was gonna be lit like this every week, your boy might have to step up in there.
I'm gonna have a boss up headline.
Shit, I'll miss a little football over this.
They're gonna be like pastor chopping cakes of a underage girl and another woman.
This shit turned to Greenleaf every week.
Well, yes, Greenleaf.
I'll step up in there like, oh, your boy is back. I have seen the error of my ways. Shit, now we're getting past some of that chicken. Let's give me some of that communion wine. Let's do this.
Wear them greens.
Mm-hmm. Like I want to be like an artist. I'll be Jerry. Oh man, shit. Anyway, of course they were black.
Of course. That long ass name.
Yeah, y'all.
Apostolo by the Rock Faith Baptist down by the River Church. Yeah, they black.
She showed up on behalf of her baby, who was already the other woman, about the other woman. Good grief, that's a black story. Woo! I wonder when the other woman mama gonna show up. She need to come through too.
All right, she might have been in the congregation.
Mm-hmm. The other woman mama gotta show up and play some of that scissor. Oh, look at this nigga. This look like an old dirty ass preaching pimp. Ain't no facial hair either. Mm-hmm. Oh, he like an old, so y'all got money for rent and Netflix, but y'all come up in here and y'all don't give pastor nothing. You don't hug my neck. Mm-mm. Ass nigga. Dirty ass. Jesus. So Jesus gay? That's just okay. Now listen, when I with my other family, we all know that Jesus is straight, and I would never even joke like that. That's blasphemous, Brother Rod. Anyway, all right.
Pass the tithes and plate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I wouldn't dare give him a dime.
You know, that's that old, like, I mean, because, you know, see, that's the thing. This isn't the sermon I necessarily want to see. I got to see the next week's sermon. That's the one that's going to be flames emoji, dog. He going to have to sing for his supper that day, boy. He going to be talking about forgiveness and Jesus and all kinds of shit.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about, as soon as I finish congregation, I want you to know, don't think it's strange that the sheriff's department is outside right now, round it up. They just going to give me 10 more minutes to wrap this service up, and I'm going to turn it over to co-pastor.
Listen, that motherfucker gonna be up in there like, ooh, he gonna deliver one for the ages, you know. How pastor supposed to have a nice car and not get bitches? Come on, y'all. The Lord said we supposed to have multitude, be fruitful and multiply. Mm-mm. Well, I did some multiplication and I could multiply even better with more wives. You know, Solomon had many wives, okay?
Yeah, but you ain't Solomon.
And I'm a man with a heart after the Lord. That is all. I layeth my hands on many pastures, is what I'm saying. Can you dig that? I mean, listen, y'all get offended that Jesus was gay. And y'all worship him? So now you're going to have to be a little offended that I got three women. I'm so straight. I got families on families on families, my niggas.
That woman was interrupting. He was getting ready for the 3 o'clock service and she was stalling.
Right. Now, anybody else got any cute daughters up in the congregation? Because, I mean, you know, pastor looking for a new one. I got a position that's open in mine house.
I know. We're getting ready to revival too. Yes, I'm getting ready to revive this penis, y'all. Anybody want to revive it for me?
I will be receiving volunteers in my chambers today, is what I'm saying. Ladies,
yeah, I get the ladies holding hands on you.
Anyway, a man was slashed in the face with a sword during an attack in a flat. The assault happened on South Street in Greenock, Inverclyde, at 10 p.m. on Monday. They forced their way into the house before the attack was carried out. The man is said to have been bleeding severely throughout the whole incident. He was taken to the hospital, cuts on his face, and later released. And that's all the details they got.
That baby girl, that woman didn't come up there with a sword. Because the way she was talking, honey, she just sliced him up.
I know. Man, I'm trying to imagine how low things got to get for me to go to church on my daughter's behalf to be like, nigga, you a fuck nigga. In the middle.
Yeah, I got to be mad. I'm mad because I got to show up in the first place.
Next week got to be just, I know you guys have seen the news. And you can't believe everything you read, okay? By the way, the sister who recorded it surreptitiously, one, she was fine, just as a note. It'd be some fine women in church. But two, she was trying to hold her laugh in, and she was filming, so the way she filmed it, she had the phone in her lap, because she didn't want to, you know, the woman to see her filming her, which gave us a direct shot of the titties, by the way. Thank you. Then she did it like she put it up to her face like she was using it as a mirror to straighten her hair, but she was just recording the woman being mad. And then at the end, when the pastor tried to keep going, she was holding in her laugh. I want to be her best friend. Like, that's me. Cause I was like, yep.
She's the real MVP.
That's how ridiculous that was. I know she be talking shit during church. She probably know everybody's secret. So, I mean, she was the quickest with the phone. Like,
oh, she was ready.
She must have seen, oh, here come Miss Barbara.
Already knew what was popping off when she seen her.
Let me turn this to video. Miss Barbara only came in here for one thing.
Oh, is your Instagram app open, girl?
You know her daughter fucking the pastor, right? And then they called the police on him. He called the police on her, the mama. The fuck? Boy, I tell you. And y'all mad that I don't believe. How's that possible? Everybody in that church should stop believing right then. Like, this is some bullshit. Give my money back. You know? But they gonna be back next week. That's the worst part. Because it's gonna be the best show in town. It's gonna be the best. Today is lit up in there. Today's sermon? Oh, I hope that girl, I hope that woman in the video is live streaming today, Siren, cause.
Yeah, it's gonna be like that, that said in the circus, the best, the greatest show on earth.
It's gonna be a good Instagram story today. Come on. Is what I'm saying, so. Alright guys, that's it, man. We'll be back next week. Thank you so much for, tomorrow.
I'm about to say we already ended the week.
I made a mistake. Sorry, y'all. We'll be back tomorrow with more of what this was.
The Walking Dead is back,
but we ain't reviewing it tonight.
No, we're not.
It'll
but
be
I'm
later
just
in the week,
letting people know in case they ain't been keeping up. The Walking
Dead.
Oh
yeah, can't wait. Season 8, they're gonna be killing people.
Yes, they are. So we'll be recording that later on this week.
Yep. All right, y'all. We'll talk to y'all then. Until tomorrow. Love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.